Well, tonight we begin in Proverbs chapter 28, and we begin in verse 11. Cody, would you like to start?
I'm lost.
Oh, Proverbs chapter 28, and we will start in verse 11. Right there.
A rich man is wise in his own eyes, but a poor man who has understanding will find him out.
Very good. So as always, we always ask the question, what are we talking about in this particular proverb? I'm rich, so therefore I must be right.
Yeah, no, that's not right.
What else are we talking about here?
I think it's somebody that just gets mad and just starts going on, for lack of a better word.
Okay, good. So what is the difference then between being rich and being wise in my own eyes and being poor and being able to discern good? What's the difference between being rich and poor in those particular circumstances? What's
God.
Yeah.
There's a lot less distractions when you don't have much to your name.
There you go. Yeah. We sometimes put things in front of us, don't we? We have all the distractions around.
Well, and if you're wealthy, your money can get you out of a lot of situations.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're poor, kind of stuck.
Yeah, you got to deal with it. Yeah. There's that. I like what you're saying. We have a lot of distractions. Being rich with, being, for me, if I were rich with land and had the opportunity to go hunt every day, I would be distracted, right? Because I could see that, well, I've got this. I need to use it for my advantage and go hunting every day and instead of something else that I should be doing. Where if I don't have that land and I look forward to just a season and get out, I'm not distracted by all of the opportunity, right? Is that a good example of being distracted by opportunity?
My note, to put it, to go along with what you said, talks about the blinding nature of wealth, which is pretty much the same concept as that distracting.
Mm-hmm.
Not wealth is bad. That's no, but...
Yeah, it's not bad to have wealth or be wise with your money or invest in a 401k or anything like that. Just don't allow it to be your all-consuming item, right?
I also think that, you know, when people become rich, especially, you know, like say they weren't rich from birth, they built their wealth, it's easy for them to kind of become prideful in themselves instead of prideful in God. And, you know, they think, I did this, so I'm successful in my own eyes, when really it's not about what you think about yourself or what other people think about you. It's what he thinks about you.
Very good.
So what people see through that and focus on the relationship with God instead of your relationship with other people and money.
Good. It's a great example. Thank you. So what categories, then, can we assign verse 11?
Popular sins, the illusion of greed and pride.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Illusion, greed, pride.
Obedience.
Obedience, good. Could we say self-control there? Discernment.
Discernment, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one. Discernment. What about accountability? I think Nate's coming in. All right, verse 12.
Go ahead and pass it around.
Verse 12. When the righteous rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. Verse 12, right?
Yes, yeah. Verse 12. Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
What are we talking about? So we are in Proverbs chapter 28, and we just read verse 12. So what are we talking about?
How the character of a leader or a ruler will have consequences on everyone.
Mm-hmm. Good. How we lead matters. Good. Anything else?
I think it's a call to come together with other righteous people, those who follow God, because you don't want to celebrate, and you know the one way you're going to celebrate is by lifting up other Christians and supporting them to triumph in what they're going on.
Good. So what then categories can we add to, what categories can we assign verse 12 to?
Influence.
Influence, good.
Goodness.
Goodness.
What was the first one?
Influence. Want to get him a piece of paper?
Please.
Yes, absolutely. There you go. You're welcome.
All right, so we've got influence, goodness. Anything else?
Maybe good and wise and we're going to.
Very good. Our words matter. 12. Mm-hmm. Good, alive, and evil and death. Our words matter. Chapter 28, verse 12. I also wrote down duty and justice. Anything else? All right. Verse 13, Karen.
Okay. The one who conceals his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy.
Very good. So what are we describing here?
I feel like this one of those verses where I read through, you're like, oh, I'm not rich, so this doesn't apply to me. Or this was the verse, you could read it any day in the week, a year from now, it's going to mean something different to you. It's going to hit you like a train every single time.
Yeah. And why is that?
It's rawhide and something.
Right. That's right. We're all hiding something.
This is almost an encouraging verse in that sense, though. Mm-hmm. Because it shows you, number one, you're not going to prosper. Number two, if you do talk to the Lord about it and ask forgiveness, that wonderful word mercy comes into play. I think I'd rather have mercy any day.
Right? It's good. Any other thoughts on that? All right. So what categories can we assign verse 13? We're going to blow through them all tonight.
Holy God.
Holy God. Good. Mercy. Good.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Good. Right above firm foundation.
Lying.
Lying. Yeah.
Pride.
Pride. Good.
Yeah. A blessing.
A blessing. Right. Would it be illusion?
Compassion.
Good. And because we have we receive compassion, because we receive mercy, we receive forgiveness, would grace also be added in that? Yeah, I think so too. There's a level of accountability, I think, in this verse. All right, so the way the turtle works, we pass the turtle around. If you would like to read, you go ahead. If you don't, you just pass the turtle on to the next person. Verse 14.
Proverbs 28:14. How blessed is a man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity.
Okay. So verse 13 through basically the end of the chapter, we're talking about these behaviors and or attributes, character, if you will, of men and women. So as we read through the rest of the chapter, we'll keep that in mind. We're talking about character and a man's character. So in this particular verse, verse 13 or 14 rather, what are we describing? At the top of your sheet, we said the fear of the Lord was something. It could equal something. What is that?
Wisdom.
Yeah. So wisdom, fearing the Lord is part of what makes up wisdom, right? We also have the ability to substitute the words that are right below that, and that is accepting God's gift. So it's interesting when we read verse 14, it says, blessed is the man who always accepts God's gift.
Well, then the last part of mine says, but one who hardens his heart falls into trouble.
Yeah, what does that mean?
He's not doing it God's way. He's doing it his way.
That's right.
Wicked and wise.
Wicked and wise. Yep. So what character or categories can we assign this particular verse to?
Discernment.
Discernment, good. Verse 14 could be assigned to discernment.
I would say rebellion. I don't know if it's on the list.
But. Yeah, it's not on the list, but we can add it. It's a good write-in. So that makes three write-ins for this new sheet. The first one would be guilt. The second one was trust. And the third one now is rebellion. And then, there you go. So what other categories do we have?
Was that the only one we had so far?
Yep. Well, we had rebellion and we had discernment. Proverbs 28, verse 14.
What did you say?
Good. Fools. I had it as a blessing.
Blessing, that's exactly
what. Yep. And firm foundation, that's how you get that blessing, right? I can tell we're getting closer to school and closer to the end of summer. Everyone's tired, not wanting to talk anymore. We don't need to do that thing, go around and say everybody's name and then we talk more. We don't need to do that, do we? All right.
This will be obedience.
Obedience. Good.
Repent would be another one.
Huh? Forgiveness. Repentance. Good. Verse 15.
I'm Liam.
Hi, Liam.
Like 20, a roaring, Proverbs 28:15. Like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people.
Mm. So describe for me, what is a roaring lion to you?
Satan.
Okay. Satan? You ever heard a lion roar?
YouTube.
You too? Really? You need to get to the zoo. Alright.
I think when you see a lion, you automatically have a reaction. Because you're like, he's going to be way stronger than me. He's going to be way louder than me. So there's... You automatically... Your guard is up. Your fear increases.
Yeah, fear. Roar. If you hear a lion roaring, what does that mean? I mean...
Danger.
In reality. Thank you. It means danger. If you can hear him roaring, it's too late. Right?
Mm-hmm. Same for a charging bear.
I was going to say, and so a charging bear. Maybe you've never seen that part. You know, at the zoo, I only ever see them walk back and forth, and they swing their big foot, and then they land. And they swing their big foot, and they land. Never see them charging.
Knowing that you're under full submission if you're too close.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're done.
So these are fearful things, right? I will say, one time, my dad and I were up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, in the very tip, which is Copper Harbor, and they had bear pits up there because basically it's a dump. On the far north end of that peninsula, there's a dump, and they call them the bear pits because the bears all hang out there and, you know, have dinner. Well, they would come through the campsite, and one morning we were sleeping in the tent, and right across the street, which is from here to you, right? Across the street was the trash can. We almost set our tent up there. Dad very wisely went, you know, there's a trash can there. We want to be on the other side. Fortunately, we were. Otherwise, he would have been rooting around in the... Because Dad told me, he said, don't bring any food in the tent. Okay, well, what'd I do? I was hungry, so I had a Snicker bar. Do you know what a Snicker bar smells like when there are no other Snicker bars around? You can smell it, right? If you've not had anything all day and you open that Snicker bar, you can smell it. Dad looked at me at 6 o'clock in the morning and he goes, you didn't bring any food in here, did you? I said, I got a Snicker bar right here. He goes, oh my gosh. He's like, don't you listen? But right across the street was the bear. And it wasn't just the cub. It was the mother bear, and she had two cubs beside her. So we found a couple of pots and pans and banged them together, and they took off. And it was Not at 6 in the morning when you're sitting in your tent going, what are we in for? A little frosty on the... I wasn't ready to be awake. It was frosty outside. So it's danger, right? It's dangerous. So when we have these, so is a wicked man ruling over helpless people. What does it mean to be helpless?
You're thrown in jail.
Yeah, you're vulnerable, right? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe your spirit's crushed too.
Yeah.
You don't have the motivation or the hope to try and better your situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The way people look at that too. So it's just like having it down.
Yeah, completely crushing. Yeah. Good. So what categories can we assign verse 15?
Wicked.
Wicked. Good.
So, poor and needy.
Poor and needy. Good.
I think we could put it down into like instruction and counsel. Partly because it's really giving us a picture of a leader who is not exactly encouraging his people. If he's making them cower and be fearful, I think it's an example of the type of leader you would not want to be.
Deceit.
Yeah. Deceitful. Deceit. Disrespect is on there. No, it is not. But it's a good write-in. We have disrespect. Do you think this also goes along with pride? Yeah. The leader is very prideful. Sometimes it's not always good to be the loudest and the meanest and the most angry, right? All right, verse 16.
A ruler who lacks understanding is like a cruel oppressor, but he who hates the unjust gain and will prolong his days.
Okay. What are we talking about here? By the way, just so we all know, I don't ask hard questions, deep, theologically rooted, under the table, sleight of hand.
Wrong answer.
Wrong answer questions. I'm just asking for what we're talking about here. Very general.
I think the first part is that even somebody who, you know, may have the best intention of mind, but isn't qualified for the job, is just as bad as the people we talked about in the previous verse.
Yeah.
Especially at a leader, you know, if you're a president or one like that, you know, you cut this budget or that one, you're going to get people killed, you know.
Yes.
Now, it says here, the leader who lacks understanding is very oppressive, but one who hates dishonest profit prolongs his life.
So what is dishonest profit? What is ill-gotten gain, depending on your version?
Dishonest gain.
Stealing or extortion.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Slavery.
Yeah, good.
Covetous.
Coveting, mm-hmm. Good. All right.
Maybe selling booze.
Moonshiners.
I've had a long conversation about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be a long conversation then.
Mm-hmm.
ongoing.
Yeah. So what categories then can we assign this to now that we kind of understand what we're talking about here? What's that? I thought I heard somebody say something. I'm sorry.
It could even be like evil or death.
Yeah, evil or death. Your words matter.
So greed.
Greed.
I'd say wicked and scorners.
Good. Wicked and scorners. Greed. Yeah, dictators should be on there, right?
The last half of the verse, I think, is really talking about those categories of, like, self-control, discernment. He who hates, in my Bible it says covetousness, will prolong his days. That mm-hmm. takes a lot of self-control and discernment and even contentment to go along with that.
Good.
I'm looking at another one that says, like I said, the unjust gain or sordid gain. It could be corruption. And another one I was looking at. I just try to compare them a little bit.
Yeah, good. All right, yeah.
From foundation?
Yeah, we need...
Where is that? Would you tell me? I can't see that.
It's at the very bottom, fourth one up from the bottom, on the right. Firm foundation. Yeah, we need a firm foundation. Otherwise, the first part's going to happen, right? Yeah, good. I like that. All right, verse 17.
A man who is burdened with the guilt of human blood or murder will be a fugitive until death. Let no one support him or give him refuge.
Yeah, so what does the Bible say about punishment for murder? Yeah, it's bad. Don't give them quarter, right? So what are we talking about here?
I feel like this is one of the few verses where a lot of times we're equating things to murder. We're never addressing murder directly. Or this verse does, and it kind of, pretty grim and just kind of like don't associate, don't even, person has done very wrong.
Yeah. It's interesting, the new version of the NIV, does anyone have the new version of the NIV? So could you read yours, please?
17. Anyone tormented by the guilt of murder will seek refuge in the grave, let no one hold them back.
Yeah. Ooh. It's completely clear. Right? And what I find interesting is it's almost as if to say this proverb written by a king, obviously under the authority of God, was making the statement, when we have to punish someone for this capital offense, you are not to feel guilty about that. They murdered someone. We're not to feel guilty about their punishment. I think that's very interesting that God would include that, because it's very clear.
That's what they were supposed to do.
Right.
They murdered somebody, and they were supposed to be, their family murdered them.
Yeah. And it's a protection against feeling guilty for enforcing a rule, right? That's the way when I read this, I went to several different versions to see what they also, different versions of the Bible. I looked up on a couple of commentaries to read, and they all have this very same theme that, hey, the punishment fit the crime. You don't need to, as the executioner, you don't need to feel guilty about enforcing the punishment. And it's not, right? It's not the same. They will find their rest in the grave, period. We don't need to prolong that. It's very interesting in today's world, right? Because we get very anxious about punishment and enforcing rules and enforcing laws. Laws are there to keep government kind of working.
My mom's a Christian. Since sins of blood start a justice in motion that cannot be derailed.
Say it again.
I said sins of blood start a justice in motion that cannot be derailed.
That's very good. I like that. So what categories can we assign this particular verse to? Verse 17.
Justice.
Good.
Accountability.
Perfect.
Truth and discernment on our part.
Yeah. Truth and discernment. Good.
I think in general there are a lot of people in this world that seek refuge or try and can't think of the right word, but guilt trip is the word that's coming to mind. It's not it, but you know, trying to, I did this because of this.
The excuse.
This is the extreme, but. Yeah.
Now, is this to say that we're not to witness to them? We're not, you know, so we know that there's a prison ministry. Steve Schlangen was very involved in that ministry. Is this to say that he wasn't being effective at reaching out and ministering to them? No, not at all. Even when they accept Christ as their Savior, they still have a punishment due to the crime, right? That's one of the things that they spend a little bit of time talking about. Well, you're saved. That's awesome. You still have to pay for the crime here, but God still forgives you.
Still, that you were wrong.
Yeah.
Give to Caesar what's Caesar's.
Right.
You know, it's the New Testament versus Old Testament. I think it kind of ties together.
Ties together. So it doesn't preclude them from salvation. Right? But they still have to do that punishment.
I think it could be like a commitment, but not commitment for like the onlookers to not feel guilty or feel, you know, sorry for them, and to just trust in the Lord and the plan he has for them.
Good. Commitment. I like that.
I think this is one of those things that takes a lot of trust in general, because even if somebody does commit themselves to Christ, it's going to be a lot harder for us as Christians, or as humans, more so than Christians, to believe that, because in our, you know, all sin is sin, but at the same time, you know, that it's murder. And so it's, you know, it's not that you can ever really feel out somebody's commitment to Christ or put values to other Christians. I don't know if it's making sense, but it's a slippery slope when it comes to that, when you're having these conversations with these kinds of people, or how we kind of, you know, like I said, we're still called a witness to these people. Mm-hmm. Don't mark them off, you know, cut them off, but also at the same time, don't trust them more than we should.
Right.
My sister and I had a conversation in this realm one day, and kind of like what you said, you know, sin is sin, period, right? But there are different consequences. So a murderer is not going to have the same consequences as somebody who tells a lie. You know, kind of. Not that there are scales of sin or anything like that. It's just there are different consequences. I think, you know, we were talking about that whole thing. And so I thought that was very interesting, you know, in that sense. But like you say, it's not that they're...
You mean as far as our laws are concerned?
That's a good question. I don't know that we...
Because Ananias and Sapphira lied, and they were killed on the spot.
That's true. Yeah.
So, to God, sin is sin. To us, a lie is not going to put you right in the slammer, hopefully. Maybe. I guess it depends on what it is.
Right.
I think God...
That's a good point.
Typically, most people... There's poetic endings to all sin we see in the Bible. You know, it's not like it's death, 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 death. this leads to this, so God punished him in this way. But, you know, as humans, we mimic God or what we think God is. So, I mean, that's our justice system. You know, it's not perfect. But it's a reflection, I guess, of what we deem to be good, which should align with this. It doesn't, but it mirrors those values, sort of.
Mine referred back to Genesis 9, where it talks about the covenant, and it says, Genesis 9:6 says, whoever sheds man's blood, by man's blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. And it goes back to the, you know, original covenant as far as making, being fruitful and multiplying. It's like you'll be cut off.
Yeah. Good.
It's interesting, but they're actually referred to not only like murder, but also the sacrifice and the drinking of the blood and stuff like that of humans. It's like, that's not, it's, we gave, like I gave you the creatures, not the people.
Right.
So it's just like kind of separating that difference, I guess. But
good.
I think I look at it as like not, it's like a protection for ourselves, but we're not supposed to protect them, like you were saying. We can disciple or we can encourage one another, right? But we're not responsible for that.
And we can't take the consequence away.
Yep.
So I got it down as holy God.
Holy
sovereign,
God.
If sovereign is there. You didn't see it, but.
Holy God and sovereign. Good.
Oh, so I'm right underneath of it.
I think we also have to remember that the wages of sin is death. It doesn't say the wages of murder is sin, or the wages of lying is sin.
Yeah.
Or stealing sin is just sin.
Yeah. Right.
I put down instruction and obedience.
Good.
Because no matter what they did, his murder is playing God. You're not being his worker, you're attempting to beat him. You took away their chance and their time. They were not ready to beat him, you chose to beat him. So that it's like kind of like an eye for an eye. You wanted them to meet him early, it's your turn too.
Good.
What categories was that again?
She said
instruction and obedience.
Yes. I like that. So verse 18.
The one who lives with integrity will be helped, but the one who distorts right and wrong will suddenly fall.
Okay. So what are we talking about here? We would love to hear it.
Okay. That says, the one whose walk is blameless is kept safe, but the one whose ways are perverse will fall into the pit.
Okay. Good. Do we have another version? Can I help shed a little more light on it?
Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall.
Okay. All right. So what are we talking about?
Maybe it just reminds me of a story of one of the middle school teachers I had some claims made about a student. And he was asked to resign or be fired, kind of a thing, and then it turned out that they were false allegations. School offered him a job back, but he was like, no, he got offered another job somewhere else, you know, where it was, you know, he had integrity, he stood by his rules, he didn't fold, underneath the pressure of, well, we'll let you keep your retirement if you just admit to this or want it like that. He took the hit, and then once it was shown that he was right and he proved himself, he was better off in the end.
Yeah. Pat, so what does it mean to walk blameless?
It's trying to live a righteous life, but
along those lines. Yeah, your path, a righteous life.
I think it's talking about the difference between if you're going to walk a righteous life versus a, a sinful life, a deceitful life, or something along those lines.
I think deceitful would be a good word there. Some of the translations use the word perverse. Some of them use a different word.
Crooked.
Yeah. An illusion, right? You live in an illusion. But if you're walking blameless, you're walking righteous, you're walking with Christ, it's going to look this way. Yeah.
I think you could put it under omnipotent because, your peers, especially if you're accused of something, they're going to assume sometimes that you're guilty when you know in your heart you're not. And, no one truly knows but the Lord. And that's why, he's been saying he sees it and he knows everything. So if you stick to your values, you're not walking on the same foundation and who you are as a person, and, you're confident in yourself and you're confident in the Lord, you can meet, any allegations or
good. The omniscience of God. Good. So you mentioned several things. A firm foundation. That's good. 18, firm foundation. You also mentioned omniscient, the omniscience of God, the all-knowing God.
It's verse 18.
Yes.
I've got integrity, justice. Faithfulness or faith, salvation, even. Because he says you will be delivered.
Good. Salvation.
I think it also just kind of goes to show you, I guess, if you're. If you have this integrity, you're getting attacked, and you're trusting the Lord, you're really not going to stress the fact that everybody is saying these things about you. It's not a big deal because you already have your ducks in the row. Your commitments are to the one and only. Therefore, you have no fear. If you're, going through toils and you find yourself, you're worried more about your image, then that's more of a self-check to yourself to say, whoa, I'm stressing out way too much about this. I know I'm good. I have faith in the Lord and that He has strengthened me that I did not do this, and that's all I need.
Good.
And we've had many, many verses where I think it's situations we've had many, many verses that have said you don't have to defend yourself. It's, don't argue with them, it's the truth's going to come out type of thing, God's going to make sure that it's taken care of, and I think this just is a different way of, if you're going to walk blameless, I'm going to protect you, you're going to be saved, the calamity that has, come about, I'm going to take care of it.
Good. Verse 19.
Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty.
Wow. Right? That's pretty on point.
I almost feel like a different way of saying the same thing as verse 18 did, just a different way.
A little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of a twist.
Yeah. Yeah. My Bible actually, in the end of it, says, "One who works his land will have abundant food, but the one who chases fantasies." And yours said, "Worthless activity." Is that what it was said?
Chases. Worthless pursuits.
Worthless pursuits. Fantasies are worthless pursuits.
Prodigal son.
What'd you say?
Prodigal son.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, he was prodigal son.
I think it's like the one who works his land will
heaven, but the one who chases fantasies is trying to live in the now instead of living for God through God, for the promised land. So it's like earthly desires versus working towards the ultimate goal, which is being with God. Yeah, heavenly goals versus godly goals versus earthly material goals. Living in the now versus living for the future. Living for heaven. So would you assign that to diligent workers?
Yeah.
Duty?
I think it says the goals, the commitment, and contentment.
Sorry.
Coffee.
I heard noises that weren't normal. Sorry about that. It shouldn't be. It should just be...
Well, I moved it. I may have touched the button when I moved it, so yeah.
I thought it was one of the gin.
Yeah. I know the wind is blowing pretty bad out there, too, so we're in for some thunderstorms tonight.
Oh, yeah, and there's a flap on the top of the kitchen that makes that
noise. Yep, there you go. That's what it is.
There's a vent flap.
All right. Well, I apologize for getting up and breaking our concentration there. So we were in verse 19, and what?
I was saying, since they're like with the goals, commitment and contentment.
Yeah. Commitment and contentment.
That was 19, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the vent.
That's the vent.
That's the vent, yeah. Don't panic.
Sounds like someone's building a table in there or something.
Put it under illusion. If you're following an empty pursuit.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Or if you put, for the first half, plenty of food, if you're putting forth the energy just as a material thing, looking at all sides of it, even like a good life, maybe, because you're able to provide for your family, plenty of food.
That speaks of integrity, too.
Integrity?
Yeah, to go along with good life.
You need to put it in patience.
Patience. I also said it kind of went in with accountability, being held accountable. So what we've filled out tonight, we've made it through verse 19. So next week we will start in verse 20. We're slowly but surely getting to the end of Proverbs, 10 verses at a time, sometimes 4. We'll make it. I promise. It'll be okay. What can you take away? Are there any encouragements that you could take away tonight that you say, you know what, I want to cling on to this one thing this next week. I just want to cling to this one piece.
Trying to stay righteous because you're going to get the reward.
Yeah. following Christ. That's good. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you, and we thank you for the evening that you provided. We thank you for the encouragement through your word. Lord, we love you, and we know that all of these words were written by your inspiration, and they were passed down for over 2,000 years, almost three. Pray, Lord, that you would just encourage us this week, that these words ring true today, just as they did back then, that we would align our lives with you, walk righteously, walk blamelessly, and strive to walk as Jesus did. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's banana bread left over here. Make sure you get some.